This is Louise Gartner with Spectrum Commodities, taking a look at the wheat markets for Tuesday, January 2nd. Well, Happy New Year. 2024 will bring lots of excitement, I'm sure, as we say goodbye to 2023, which had its own share of excitement and volatility in the markets. I took last week off from doing the podcast because normally there's not a lot going on between Christmas and New Year's. And trading volume definitely was down, but there was some activity in the markets that threatened to spook things a little bit. One of them was Ukraine bombing a Russian carrier ship. That was impressive. But Russia retaliated with a barrage of missiles, the highest amount of missiles since the war started, hitting Kyiv and other important cities, Odessa ports. So they are raining down on Ukraine, and Ukraine clearly is struggling here. So now the chatter has started to perk up about what if Ukraine loses? What happens then? And I think that that would be an eye-opener, really, that the markets would have to really make a shift here, that Russia would come in and take over Ukraine. So there would have to be some adjustments for sure there. But in the meantime, Russia's not having an easy go of it themselves. They've certainly struggled on the battlefield. Just the loss of life has been enormous for them. So there are very long-term implications for Russia. But front and center, of course, it's all about the war. And from my chair, it appears that Russia has the upper hand here. And markets, of course, struggling to really get their arms around what all of this means if Russia were to come in and take over Ukraine. But we'll wait and see how that all plays out. In the meantime, we look at weather in Russia, especially the central region, and then across the Volga region and into Siberia. It is very cold, minus 20 degrees there. We don't see that there's a significant amount of snow cover there, so they could be being set up for some greater winter kill than they normally do. You know, the last 2-3 years for them have been pretty mild in the winters. They've come into the spring in very good condition, and they've had stellar crops. And this year, I don't see that playing out that way. So this is important because they're the world's largest exporter. They set world price. They're the ones with their thumb on the scale of prices for the last 10 years. So if we see a notable drop in production coming out of Russia, that changes the overall fundamental dynamic of the wheat space in particular. So this is something very important to keep in mind. Weather in other parts of the world show that Brazil finally getting some of these rains that have been missing those important growing regions of Mato Grosso, Goiás, those key areas that have been so dry and so hot. They've had pretty decent rains over the last 7 days, up to 1 to 2 inches across much of that region. The next couple days are spotty rains, but then as you get into the 3 to 5 day forecast, they're calling for very good rains across almost all of that region. So it looks like the pattern is finally changing, and we're getting to more of the normal monsoonal rains that come this time of year. El Nino is expected to continue through the winter, and then as we get into April through June, it's expected to transition into a neutral ENSO pattern. So looks like El Nino is already waning, and this is why they're projecting that it'll pretty much be done by springtime. So this would suggest normal weather patterns, so it doesn't really throw up any red flags as far as U.S. production or northern hemisphere production, for that matter, at least at this point. Some other things, Argentina reporting that their corn plantings are at 70% complete. That compares to 63% a year ago. Good to excellent ratings are at 38%. That's up 1 over last week and up 23% over last year. Last week, Egypt put out a tender for wheat, and then they passed on it. So apparently didn't like the offers. That's pretty tough to get a lot of good offers when traders are pretty much gone for the holidays. I would expect that they'll put out another tender here, most likely this week. Of course, we got the shipping lane issues, especially out of the Suez Canal, a lot of attacks on merchant ships. Maersk has stopped all shipments over the weekend after some of their ships were attacked, and the U.S. sunk three of the attacker boats, killing 10 people. So Maersk has reported that they will decide today what their shipping routes are going to be. Are they going to continue to use the Suez Canal, or they start moving it around the south of Africa? So it's a big difference, and it would certainly shoot up cost of transportation. So we'll keep tuned into what's going on there. Export sales on Friday for wheat were at 317,000 tons. That was toward the low end of the range of estimates. The biggest buyers were Mexico at 133,000. Unknown took 100,000. So year to date, we're at 15.2 million tons of wheat sold. That's up 1% over last year, and it's 77% of USDA's projections, which is 2 points behind the average. In corn, 1.3 million tons of sales last week was the report last week. That was at the high end of the range of estimates. Mexico was the biggest buyer, 556,000. Year to date, we've sold 29.4 million tons. That's up 8 million over last year. It's a jump of 37%. And we're at 55% sold of USDA's estimate. That's down 5 points from the average. Soybean sales at 984,000 tons, toward the low end of its range of estimates. China was the biggest buyer at 577,000. The Netherlands took 134,000. Unknown canceled 178,000. So some of those probably were shifted over to China. Year-to-date sales were at 36.3 million tons. That's down 6.5 million from last year. It's a drop of 15%. We're at 76% sold of USDA's projections. That is equal to the five-year average. World FOB offers for wheat out of the Gulf, soft red winter wheat is quoted at $255 a ton. That's down 9 from the previous week. Hard red winter wheat at $285 a ton is up 1. Ukraine at $210 a ton is up 5 on the week. Russia at $240 a ton is down 5. Romania at $275 is unchanged. France at $244 down 3. Argentina at $245 is up 10. In corn out of the Gulf, we're at $210 a ton. That's unchanged on the week. Off the PNW, we're at $200. That's down 15. Ukraine is at $190. That's up 5. Argentina is at $200, down 15. Brazil is at $200, down 30. In soybeans, out of the Gulf, we're at $470 a ton. That's down 35 on the week. In Argentina, we're at $495 a ton. That's down 5. Brazil is at $490, down 35. So clearly, soybean cash around the world is under some pressure. And the futures were down a little bit last week, but not nearly as much as the cash. And especially with Brazil being down 35, equal to what the U.S. was down, they're clearly expecting some relief in weather and that their soybean crop is not going to be as bad as what it has been feared. So on the week in futures last week, Kansas City wheat was up 19, Minneapolis up 9, Chicago up 12, corn down 2, soybeans down 6. And again, quiet week, not going to see a lot of price action this week and the next couple weeks. You got a new calendar year, it's a new tax year for a lot of guys. Normally we do tend to see a significant increase in cash sales of all grains the first couple weeks of the year, and that's primarily for tax reasons. Typically, we see some cash pressure with soybeans. That's, you got that coupled with better rains across Brazil. I would think soybeans are going to lead the way lower here over the next couple weeks. For wheat and corn, I would expect that they'll see some pressure as well. It doesn't change a bigger picture. I think corn is in a sideways pattern. The late soybean plantings in Brazil are certainly going to cause some problems for second season corn plantings. I think that's probably your sleeper market as we head into the spring and summer, is that you're not going to see as much production out of Brazil, exportable corn. So I think that's the market that holds together better. And the kind of the general thinking is that farmers are going to be more inclined to seed soybeans just because of the biofuel and the biodiesel refining capacity is increasing so much, that's going to support that market better. So there's a lean toward more soybeans and less corn acres here in the U.S., likely going to be a notable drop in corn plantings in Brazil. So that's a big difference coming at the corn complex as we work our way through the spring and summer. First off, for plantings estimates, however, will be winter wheat in a couple weeks. We're going to get a supply-demand report. We'll get quarterly stocks, and then we'll also get winter wheat plantings. That's going to be a big report. And I, you know, the general consensus there is that winter wheat plantings are going to be down 1.5 to 2 million acres simply because support price is down so much. So that's something to keep in mind as well, that you're probably going to see a significant drop in winter wheat in general. That could spill over to a little bit better spring wheat across the northern plains, but my guess is it suggests you're going to see more milo, more cotton, more corn and soybeans in areas of the eastern central plains that they can make the switch. But by and large, we expect to see a notable drop in winter wheat plantings in this next report. If you have any questions, feel free to call at 1-800-888-9843. This has been Louise Gartner with Spectrum Commodities.